Back,
Shane.
How you doing?
I'm great. I just had a burrito. It was
delicious. Nice. What kind of burrito?
I had a steak burrito with like pinto, rice, and then obviously the verde salsa. Total game changer for burrito, in my opinion. I think it's the only way to eat them.
I'm a big fan of that as well. Shout out to our new sponsor, Heartbeat Hot Sauce, by the way. They make a great jalapeno hot sauce would be excellent on that. But let me ask you a question. How do you feel about cilantro? Are you a cilantro fan?
I am a cilantro fan. I put it on everything.
Yeah.
I know for our U.S. listeners here, Father's Day is Sunday. I'm whipping up some burgers for my dad on the grill. And I put cilantro in everything. Burgers, like, all of my Hispanic Mexican food that I make, like, it goes great on everything, in my opinion.
Interesting. Yeah, burgers you don't think. But no, I know some people don't like cilantro. They think it tastes like soap. Or whatever. They've got the weird genetic problem. But no, I'm with you, man. I love some cilantro, like, loaded up in my burrito. All about it.
Oh, for sure.
Hell yeah, man.
And, I mean, speaking of genetic problems... we had something interesting happen this past week.
Okay.
And I think what happened is that the Deathcore gods of old came down to our mortal plane and said, do you know what the year of Deathcore needs? It needs an anthem. And Lorna Shore took that personally and released probably the best Deathcore song I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, man, it's something else. I heard it.
Yeah, it is. Will Ramos is... Ramos. I don't know how to pronounce his last name exactly, but his vocal range is absolutely insane. I've never heard anything like it.
Yeah. What's the title of this song again? I forget the title. I listened to the song. This thing is like 5 minutes long.
Six,
it goes Yeah, 6 minutes long.
It's called To the Hellfire.
To the Hellfire, that's right. And it just takes you in so many different directions.
Yeah.
And it leaves you... Like, it's hard to listen to this and not feel a bunch of crazy feelings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I almost feel like I need to shower every time I listen to it.
Yes.
Because it's just disgusting. And they've got a new EP coming out. This song alone is making it into my top five. It's coming out in August, I think. I'm really excited for this release.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's ridiculous. I mean, you know, the drumming, obviously a lot of this is programmed and whatever, and I don't know if any drummer can actually play this. I mean, I would love to see it, but they really have...
I mean, the music video was a live performance, and the dude's doing it. So.
I mean, they have stepped... Well, regardless of that, this has stepped up next level. This is deathcore like you've never heard it before. And yeah, safe to say this band is back.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I mean, honestly, a band that's been plagued by vocalist issues, and I think that Will's going to be here to stay, and this is just a great look for the band, and I'm so excited for new material.
100%. 100%. What else from last week were you feeling, Mike? What else to talk about from the top five? Or anything.
So I was really, really feeling that Wrist Meat Razor album.
Yeah, it's such a cool record. I did.
It is
such a throwback, man. Like that first track, It honestly sounds like something that would come out in 2003. It does not sound like today's music, which is really cool. Nobody's doing that.
Yeah.
And it kind of, you know, knowing that that was my band's, you know, like start and heyday, if you will, it kind of makes me smile listening to this, because this is, yeah, it just makes me remember my youth, you know?
Agreed. And I mean, the record was super varied too. There were a bunch of different older sounds on there. Like at points, I was listening to some of the songs. I forget the exact name. I think it was like the third or fourth track. And I'm like, this is what Bullet for My Valentine would sound like if they just kept releasing The Poison. Like, it's a straight-up throwback with, like, the pinch harmonics and stuff like that. Even the guitar tone is really close, and I'm just like, wow. It's super well done, and I really love it. These guys took probably a bunch of influences from what they were listening to when they were teenagers, younger, and just really kind of honed it and perfected it and made it their own.
Yeah. No, it's really unique. I urge people to check it out. Just to hear something different and real, because this is as real a recording as you're going to get in 2021 as well, which is pretty cool.
100%. I mean, everything else that we had come out last week, we kind of talked about quite a bit, because there was a bit released with it. Like the Poppy EP was already out. The Cult album was already out. I still really enjoyed both those releases. I liked the Distant album. It was super heavy deathcore. I haven't been able to spin it as much as I wanted to. Just because I've been excited for something else that's coming out this week, and so I've been listening to that band nonstop to get hyped. But it was very heavy, and I liked it. I didn't get a chance to get to AFI yet. I've heard some people really enjoy it. I've heard some people absolutely hating on it.
I'll tell you, I listened to it. So I'd heard, obviously, 7 singles out of 11, and I don't know if it was hearing them in context with the album or the fact that I'd heard the songs before. I actually like the record okay. I think I kind of understood what it was when it was given to me in a package rather than singles kind of thrown at me sporadically, to where, you know, this record's been seemingly getting quite a bit of hate. And, you know, I think you said it best last week, Mike, when you said this could be sort of a band trying to experiment and maybe find a new sound, and this could be a sort of growing pain in a way, which is weird to say about a band that's been together for like 30 years, but I totally understand where you're coming from. But overall, I actually found that this was a pretty enjoyable listen to just kind of put on and just sort of not, you know, just put it on. Like, that's what music's for. And I actually really didn't mind this record.
Awesome. Well, I'll have to get into it this afternoon then and check it out before we're overwhelmed by all the releases tomorrow.
Yes. And So, just giving people a little heads up. So, usually, Mike doesn't tell me what the top five is, but the last little while, Mike's been making this little playlist with some of the singles, so I've been jamming out to some of the bands in the top five, and the stuff you sent me this week, we have a very, very eclectic, I'm just going to full on just say, it's a weird week for music.
It really is. Not a lot of scene music coming out, so a lot of good opportunities to kind of diverge your tastes a little bit. Some newer bands, some older bands, some bands so old you would even consider them classics or staples of their genre. I'm really excited to get into it. Do you want to just rock and roll?
Let's rock and or roll. And give me it, number five.
Number five, we've got a punk band coming out of Arizona called Authority Zero with their new album, Ollie Ollie Oxenfree. I assume that you are familiar with Authority Zero.
Oh, I am very, very familiar with them. I mean, they've been around forever. I mean, I think they've been a band since the mid-90s. You know, for people wondering what they sound like, they're kind of like a skate punk 90s punk band, similar to maybe like No Use for a Name, something like that. The Ataris would be maybe a similar kind of band to them.
Yeah, I guess.
And they've been at it forever. I don't believe they've ever went on hiatus, but they've never really gotten that big. They were on a major label, I think, for a while. This is like 20 years ago, but they were on Atlantic Records. So, you know, they did pick up some a fan base there. But yeah, they're still pretty underground in the, you know, skate punk scene that still exists. And yeah, man, the new singles are pretty good. Like this is a band still making really catchy, you know, skate punk, pop punk tunes.
Yeah, this was my first kind of experience hearing them. I've seen the name around, being around Riot Fest, things like that. And I finally got in and really checked out this band, listening to the new single. I haven't done a deep dive in their discography. But this band is really, really fun. It reminds me a lot sound-wise of Anti-Flag, but definitely more on the skate punk side, where it's not taking itself super seriously. It's kind of fun. Like, I mean, the album's called Ollie Ollie Oxenfree. How serious can you get?
Right.
And like the songs Fire Off Another and the title track from the album Ollie Ollie Oxenfree, like those are absolute bangers. And I was kind of surprised. I kind of like threw this on and I'm like, oh, it's punk release. Like, we're diversifying the list this week. There's not much like super big coming out. So let's just toss this on. I'm actually surprised and really excited for this album.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a band that doesn't always get a lot of attention in the punk scene. They've always been there though. Very consistent. Mm-hmm. So great to see them putting out new music here in 2021. Like, got to be 25 years at least, you know, since they started. So it's pretty cool.
Always great to see.
Number four.
Next up, we've got a weird one. Coming out with their third album, I want to say. It's this band called Bossk, and it's spelled like the Star Wars character. But they've got their new album, Migration, coming out. They're from the UK. And the way that I want to describe this band is like sludgy post-metal wall of noise music. But it's a bit more than that, because it almost feels kind of progressive at points, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this band is really interesting. And you're right, kind of hard to describe. Some of it is a little stoner metal, jam metal-y. But then there's sort of a bunch of ambience to it that isn't found in that genre. So yeah, it is hard to describe. It's heavy, it's pretty cool, but also it's pretty melodic too sometimes. So it's got a lot of things going for it.
Yeah, I was listening to the singles and at points I'm kind of like, what is going on? They toss a lot of samples within the music and it's a little bit confusing and disorientating, which, I mean, sometimes when you're listening to metal, that's kind of the intent. But then at other times, like, you'll go straight from that into a really cool rhythm section. You'll just naturally find your head bobbing. It's one of those where if you go and listen to the singles right away, you're going to be like, eh, I don't really know what this is. But kind of like that AFI record, like you're seeing, I think once this album is fully together and I kind of listen all the way through, I think it's going to have as clear of a picture as kind of like sludgy stoner metal, whatever we're describing this as, has. And I think it's going to be a good album.
What's the spelling of the band again for people to make sure they get it?
So it's B-O-S-S-K.
B-O-S-S-K. Got it.
Yeah. Should be fun.
Very.
The album was cool too. It's just like this black and white building. Sweet. Really neat.
Sweet. All right. All right. Number three.
So number three, also coming out of the United Kingdom, with their new album Hyperdialectic, Hacktivist. This is a band that's been around for a while. They kind of have a weird dichotomy of sounds, where on one side they're kind of rapcore, like bands like Backwards, Attila, things like that. And on the other side, they're very genty progressive metalcore, kind of like Volumes or Viljarta, things like that. And I think it's really cool how they've kind of merged these two genres. I would definitely say it's more on the rapcore side than the progressive metalcore side. But like the influences from both really make to an interesting sound. And I think that this band is just having a ball with what they're doing. And you can really see it in how well the music is written.
Yeah, absolutely. Hacktivist is very hard to describe again, because you... Mm-hmm. I heard you describe them, and you're right, but it doesn't quite hit the nail on the head, because they also have that UK element to them, where the vocals are very, very aggressive. You kind of hear the accent a little bit in them. Kind of like if The Streets was like really metal or something. Like you get that kind of attitude, but then you actually hear sometimes it isn't really rapping. It is almost like it just goes straight into very heavy, genty metalcore vocals. And you kind of forget for a second that they're a rap band. It's really, really, they are really unique.
Yeah.
And they don't really sound like anyone else.
It's weird, too, because, like, the breakdowns are really well written, and they're super heavy, and they've got these, like, electronic elements going on. And then you come right out of that, and he starts rapping, and you're just like, oh, yeah, we're back here. Like, it's really fun. The song structures that they use are really cool. I think that if you're a fan of, like, new metalcore or rapcore or whatever, this is going to be a fun release, and I think everybody should check it out.
Yeah, I think it's just two members in the band too, right?
I'm not 100% sure.
Like, I feel like their promo pictures, it's like they're a duo. So it like the aesthetic.
There's five guys on the Spotify picture.
Oh, is there? Okay, maybe I'm completely wrong. Yeah. Don't quote me on that. I think I remember we played a show with them once or a festival with them once, and I just remember there being like two guys in the band or something, but I could be completely wrong, but
I think they've gone through like a few member changes and things like that too.
Yeah, could be. But regardless, no, if you're looking for something different that you probably haven't heard before, Hacktivist could be the way to go for sure.
Yep, 100%. Ready to move on to number two?
Yeah, we're flying through these. I'm ready. Number two.
We are. Number two, kind of one of the most classic bands on here, I think. If you're a fan of power metal, you know this band. They're from Germany, and they are Helloween, putting out their self-titled record as their 17th album. Is it 17? I can't remember. Maybe that's someone else today, but they have a lot of albums.
Oh, they've been a band they've been together since the 80s. German band. I mean, I remember I had a Helloween record when I was a kid.
17 albums, yeah.
Wow. I remember I had a Helloween record when I was a kid and I was getting into metal. You know, I had like, you know, Metallica and Slayer and Megadeth records and stuff. And I had this Helloween record and my dad went, Helloween, like scoffed at the name and said, what do they do the other 364 days of the year?
Ayo.
Yeah, it's such a dad joke.
It's
always
funny
because
they've never really had like, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, they've never really had like Halloween elements in their music. They kind of started out as that new wave of British heavy metal, very similar sounding to things like Iron Maiden, and then really kind of branched into power metal once it started gaining popularity in the 90s, which I think is a really, really fun transition of them kind of growing. They've stuck with the power metal. It's been absolutely great this entire time. I don't think that they've definitely got like weaker albums, but I don't think they have a bad album by any means. The two singles from this record, Skyfall and Fear of the Fallen, are absolutely great. I think that this is a consistently good band that if they're one of the classics too. So if you've been looking to get into power metal ever, but based on how much we talk about it, or it just seems fun, this is a really good time. It's got some great elements of the genre, where during songs like Skyfall, you almost feel like you're soaring based on how the riffs are written and put together. And Fear of the Fallen is just classic power metal, go fast, write solo, sing about dragons and shit.
Yeah, no, I really like the single Skyfall as well. And it actually sounded to me a lot like Iron Maiden. Like, it sounded like the music Iron Maiden should be making. And it still had that production sound. Like, it could have come out, you know, 30 years ago, honestly. So that's cool, and I really enjoyed that. And yeah, man, if you're looking for that kind of music, this is another great band to probably just start with this new record and work your way backwards through their discography. So much to listen to, and I don't even know if they even have Halloween in Germany. Like, I don't think they have trick or treating and stuff, and they definitely didn't in the mid-80s. I don't know. In the mid-80s, though? So maybe they just were like, yeah, Halloween, that's a weird American thing. What about Helloween? And then that was where they got their band name, I figure.
Also, I don't think I would start going like straight backwards with the discography. I think I would start, like, if you like this album, I would go back to the classics, and I would listen to, like, Keeper of the Seven Keys Part 1 and 2, and then, like, Master of the Rings. I think those are classic power metal albums that anybody can enjoy. They're just so much fun.
All right. I love it. Halloween at number 2. Wow. Already a super, super diverse 4 records in the top 5. And we're going to get to that number 1 album after we take a little break here to hear from our sponsors. And we're back. Mike.
We are.
Mike, great album so far. I love it. I love, we got some punk rock. Mm-hmm. We got some power metal. We've got some weird ambient stoner metal stuff and some like rap metal. So I'm all
diverse.
For it. It is very diverse, and I'm ready for this number 1 album of the week.
All right. We've been talking about it. I've hyped up all the singles because I absolutely love this band, and I'm so happy they're making music again. Fear Factory's new album comes out this week.
Yes.
It's called Aggression Continuum. If you're fans of other old school metal like Soulfly, Machine Head, or some like new metal like Static X, I think Fear Factory is right up your alley. Yep. I think they're super, super consistently good. I listen to every new album or single that they put out just because, I mean, I've been a fan of this band for over 15 years now, which is crazy to think about. I'm getting at that age where I can say like 15 years. That's a little scary to me. But Dino Cazares is one of the best vocalists in the, I guess, traditional modern metal scene. And he's just always been killing it. It's going to be a great record. I don't really know what else to say about it.
Yeah, man. There isn't too much else to say. You hit the nail on the head with the comparative bands. They do sound a lot like that. I will add that these singles, they are pushing the technology, the production element forward. This does sound modern. Mm-hmm. It does sound really good. And I think that this will stand up right beside some of the other, you know, modern metal records coming out this year. But of course, they've got their own sound that they've, you know, been crafting for, 25 years or something like that. And maybe longer.
Long.
Yeah. So it's great to see them back. And you're right. This is a band that really seems to give a shit every time they put out an album. And that's why they have such a massive fan base still.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I was always super surprised whenever I looked this up and I figured out again, the band's from Los Angeles. They've got kind of that almost Gothenburg metal sound to them.
Yeah.
Which always makes me think that they're from Germany or like Northern Europe. It's really surprising to me. But this band's great. That's all I guess.
No, I agree. I mean, I think that they were so important, you know, back in the day for just, pardon the pun, but kind of progressing the metal genre. Like, they took those elements of black metal, of this European influence, and then they kind of, like, brought it to the West Coast of the United States. And you know, they put it on MTV, and then this became this sound that a lot of people in the mainstream didn't know, and they really helped keep that alive and keep that going. And I think without Fear Factory, a lot of the influence of the Swedish bands and European bands, it wouldn't have happened the same way. I think that Fear Factory was truly that important.
Yeah, and I'd have to agree. I mean, just giants among, I don't know what I want to say, but they're very important. Yes.
Yes. Fear. And I was trying to insert some kind of bad Joe Rogan joke about Fear Factor, but I can't think of one. But since this is a podcast, I assume most people also listen to Joe Rogan. I don't know. If you got four hours a day
a joke
to do
in
it,
there
then
somewhere.
There's a joke in there somewhere. That's I'm just going to leave it at that.
It's like a create your own adventure. Imagine what Shane said here.
Imagine I said something hilarious, okay? Just, that's good enough. That joke is there.
Burst out laughing right now and make everybody around you, who hopefully you're wearing headphones and not, like, making the people around you listen to this, too, and just make them kind of look at you like you're weird.
Yeah, no, you'll laugh. And then when they're like, oh, what's so funny? And you take off outwet headphone and be like, Shane Toll just said something hilarious. He's so funny. There we go.
And then they'll come and listen to this and be like, you're right, he is funny. I made my own joke for him too. What was your Shane Toll joke on the podcast this week?
Oh my goodness. Oh wow. Wow. All right. Let's round out this top five. I mean, let's recap this top five before we get into honorable mentions. Are you ready, Mike? Number five.
Number five, we've got the new album Ali Ali Oxenfree from Authority Zero.
Number four.
Number four, we've got the new album Migration by Bosk.
Yes. And number three?
Number three, we've got the new album Hyper Dialect by Hacktivist.
Yes. Number two?
Number two, we've got Halloween by Halloween.
Yeah, the self-titled thing, like, did they just finally run out of album titles? I guess just finally, I don't know. I can't think of any more.
I mean, I'm okay with it. It's a good, like, if they hadn't had one by now, kind of like whenever you do it, I think it's fine.
I guess so. It is just funny they've waited this long. And the number one album of the week is?
Aggression Continuum by Fear Factory.
There we go. Great top five. Lots of different shit in there.
Yes.
Mike, give me
the number. You're going to get even weirder with the honorable mentions.
Oh, it's going to get so weird. And I don't know any of these for the listeners. This is all a surprise. How many we got?
We got 14 this week.
Okay. 14. Pretty average. I'm ready. Let's go.
Yep. All right. First off, I would be amiss if I didn't mention that this EP was coming out. I absolutely love this artist. I don't understand the hate that they get. I think that the song that everybody hates by them is an absolute banger and that you all are wrong.
Okay.
We're getting a new EP from Rebecca Black, and I am stoked about it. Oh,
yeah, I love her. I follow her on Instagram.
Great.
She's badass, man. She's awesome. And her story is really, you know, of course people know Friday and the debacle that was when she was like a little kid, but no, she's come back and done some pretty cool stuff, and I think
super
she's
talented.
100%.
I listen to her newer solo stuff, and I mean, it's just really good, fun, like from the heart pop music, and she's kind of already had her big, like, well, quote unquote blow up, where everybody's like, oh my god, this song is horrible, and like, if you've already released the worst song in your career, what are you going to do besides just release whatever you want? And it's really working for her, in my opinion.
Right. No, I mean, yeah, she's got some thick skin because of the absolute trauma. And I mean, it was fucked up, actually, like the way people treated her just as literally a little kid doing this music. Like, you know, it was pretty messed up. So I'm glad to see that she didn't give up.
She was, 14 when Friday came out?
I think maybe even younger, to be honest. But I think maybe even younger. I'd have to look it up. But regardless, this is rad. I'm glad we're mentioning her. And she's great. And I'm so happy.
For sure. Next up, we've got a new album by one of, in my opinion, the best classic rock bands ever. We've got a new album from Styx.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How did I not hear about this?
I don't know. I found out about it today, too. So.
Wow. Well, so Dennis DeYoung, former singer of Styx, but, you know, the guy that sang on all those hits and everything, he was on the podcast about a year ago, and he was incredible.
This podcast?
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
Yeah, he was incredible. It's one of the best podcasts I've ever done with Dennis DeYoung. Obviously he's not a part of Styx anymore, but I guess they're still doing music with their, you know, their newer singer. And I mean, I'm still here for it. I think they've always been a cool band. I mean, very talented, very eclectic. So it'll be interesting to see what they're pulling off.
Yeah. And I'm going to listen to it. I mean, I think everybody should check it out. Next up, the rest are just singles. Cool. Classic metal band coming out with their, I think, second single off their upcoming album. At the Gates is putting out new music.
Oh, shit.
Very, very excited for this. At the Gates, amazing heavy band. Just like Fear Factory, kind of giant original metal band that's just been super influential across the entire scene.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be great.
Slaughter of the Soul. If you haven't heard At the Gates, Slaughter of the Soul, just hit stop right now and put it on, because it is, in my opinion, the greatest metal record ever made. And it still holds up. It came out in 1995. It still sounds awesome. It is so fucking good. And At the Gates was one of those bands that they broke up kind of before their time. Like I think they were on the Slaughter of the Soul album cycle, and they broke up, and they didn't get back together for like at least like 15 years. And so we were playing a festival, Silverstein was, up somewhere in Quebec, and At the Gates was playing in Montreal. So we were going to like stop there for the night, go to the At the Gates show, and then play the festival the next day. Well, on the way up to Quebec, our van broke down.
Oh, no.
And we had to rent like two vehicles. We had to rent a U-Haul to put all our gear in, and then like another minivan or something to get all the people up there. So that's what we had to do. So I was with the gear, me and the other guy, and we were like a little bit lagging behind because it was a U-Haul and everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, we're still going to make the show. We're still going to the show. And I walked in the club, and literally I heard, "You've been awesome, and we've been At the Gates. Thank you. Good night." And that was it. I've been waiting like my whole life since I was 14 years old to hear this band play, and I missed them.
You got like the last couple notes.
Like, no, I got the ring out, like the ring out guitar cymbal swell, and that was it. That was disappointing, but I love At the Gates, and I'm here for their new music, and hell yeah, Mike, great pick.
Speaking of another classic band, completely different scene though. Newfound Glory is putting out a B-side from their last record. They're going to be announcing a deluxe album with just kind of, I think, four or five B-sides. Newfound Glory, always consistently good, always consistently fun. It's pop punk. Have a good time with it.
Sweet. Love it.
Let's just stick with the kind of pop punk vibes, and then everything else is going to be kind of heavy. There's a new single coming out by this band that I absolutely love called Happy Hour. They're kind of post-hardcore pop-punk, very similar to Shrezzers, I would say. And it's featuring Andres, who is an absolutely phenomenal vocalist who also has a post-hardcore. He goes by Andres as his music nomiker. It's him, and then there's a backing band, and they do post-hardcore as well, and he kind of does like Latin American singing over it. It was very, very fun. And I'm very excited to see these two bands kind of combine and see what they put out, because I absolutely love both of them.
Okay, awesome.
We also have the third single from the new Capstan album coming out. Yay.
I'm on one of them.
I know.
I want a song. I don't know when it's coming out. I don't think so. I don't know when it's coming out, but it is. I can tell you it is a certified banger. I'm a little biased, but it rips, dude. It is a ripper. We're talking about a huge riff, great chorus, great production, super cool, thought-provoking lyrics.
Do you bleh?
There is a bleh. I don't bleh. Oh. Anthony bleh. But okay. There is actually a bleh. Yes. I don't know. Maybe I'm spilling the beans too hard, but yeah, there is a bleh.
Confirmed bleh on Capstan record.
It's just like that. It's just like that.
Nice.
But better.
So speaking of bless, A Night in Texas is putting out a new single. Very excited for that. Super heavy deathcore band. A lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
And going back to our kind of classics of the genre, Carnifex is putting out their second single.
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely adore Carnifex. They're probably one of my favorite deathcore bands. This first single was an absolute banger. This one's going to be a banger. I don't think they've ever done wrong except for the Green album. We don't talk about that one. I don't even remember that album's name.
They are super underrated, I think. Like, obviously, they've just always been there. Like, you just can count on them, you know? And and yeah, I'm here for it. Scott's a great dude, and awesome band that we're. Hey, you're a deathcore, right? So, of course, they're
you're
putting
deathcore,
out a
baby.
Single. Yep.
So next thing that I wanted to talk about, all of the Europeans are probably going to be like, yippee, and the Americans are going to be like, who? But Dead by April is releasing a new single. I absolutely love these guys. I'm always super sad that they never got big enough in the States to justify them coming over. I think they're incredibly talented. They've just got a really good niche sound that I think really works in Europe and never really took off as much here in the States. But I think they're amazing, and everybody should go check out this new song.
Yeah, I feel like they have a pretty big fan base of, you know, real cult following. So yeah, I didn't know they'd never been over here, but maybe they can make it happen.
I think they've been over here once for like a couple of shows, but they've like never been like, okay, we're doing a tour in the States, or like we're opening for somebody in the States. It's just never happened. Next up, we've got the second single from new project 1056, which if anybody remembers me talking about this last time, this is Aaron Matz from Betraying the Martyrs new group.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very awesome. Their first single, Diazepam, is the perfect lifting song. I'm not going to say it's deathcore, but it's kind of like beatdown metalcore, kind of almost like it's like Knocked Loose, but not. I don't know. It's heavy. It's good. Go listen to it. Absolutely.
Diazepam.
Awesome. Yeah.
Okay.
That was the first single. Then. I don't know what this single is called.
All right.
Next, coming from the UK, kind of like a pop. It's weird. I don't know how to describe this band. This band's called Yonaka. They're super, super cool. And they're kind of like pop punk mixed with pop mixed with like, all right, we're going to have a breakdown now. But like, I don't know. They're really good songwriters. They're really fun. I think this song is called Raise Your Glass or something like that. It's like the third single off the album that's coming out in a couple weeks, and I'm very excited for this.
Right on.
All right. Next up, we've got the second single from the new album by Sleepwaker, my Grand Rapids boys.
Yeah.
Super, super fun metalcore band, really kind of starting to blow up right now, and an absolutely just ton of talented guys.
Yeah, I'm here for it, man. Michigan represent. I'm all about it, man. Let's go.
All right, we've got two left, Shane.
I'm ready. I'm ready for the final two.
This first one, they're claiming they're heavy again. I don't know how much I believe them. But Bullet for My Valentine is putting out a new single. They have an album coming out at the end of October.
The album is called I Swear We're Heavy Again. What's the album called?
I don't know. I don't remember. I saw it and I was like, okay, I know the single's called Knives, I think.
Okay. Sounds heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel like they've taken a lot of different turns in their career. Bullet for My Valentine.
Oh, it's a self-titled record.
I've always liked the band. I mean, I know like they've been a little polarizing with the different stuff they've done. I've always sort of appreciated it, and I feel like they've always been pretty self-aware of kind of what they want to do. So I'm cool with it, and maybe if you know because they are self-aware, maybe this really will, you know, be a heavy record again. Because I think they're capable of it. And of course, you know.
Oh, I think so too.
We've talked about, you know, the COVID effect and the frustration and the darkness that is going to be creeping into music now because it's, you know, all the like singles and stuff coming out now, you can be pretty sure that those were recorded during COVID. Albums, maybe before, but singles, a lot of them are going to be COVID songs and they're going to have definitely a darker element, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm really hoping Bullet for My Valentine put out one of my top 10 metalcore albums of all time with Poison. I think that this band is absolutely top tier when they kind of turn it on and still like pretty solid when they don't. So I'm super excited for this release. Now the last
one. Absolutely. Okay, last one.
The last one. We talked about this last week. I was a little surprised because they didn't release it on the lunar cycle. Mm. We have our album of the year for 2021 decided. Tomorrow, we are getting the first single from the new album by Sleep Token.
Officially?
Officially.
Wow.
I'm surprised that they're not just
dropping it.
So they haven't officially announced it. They haven't officially announced the album. They haven't announced the release date. I know it.
Okay.
So I'm going to be a little tentative. They've been counting down on Instagram like 5, 4, 3, 2. Today they posted 1.
Okay.
So tomorrow they're dropping a single. I'm really excited to listen to it. I don't know if I'm going to listen to it.
Really?
I'm really debating going into this record when it does come out entirely blind.
Wow. I mean, I understand that, but it's you, Mike. You know?
I know.
Mean, I feel like you're going to like have a couple too many drinks and be like, fuck it, I got to listen to it. I just, you know, I feel like
hey,
it's going to happen.
Five and a half months sober, so.
Oh, well, good for you. But when you know, when is this? This record doesn't have a release date yet, right? So you could be waiting months. You could be waiting months.
I could be, but it is in my birthday time frame. You know when that is, so right around there.
Okay.
It's going to be a good couple of weeks in that month, and based on what's leading up to it, I think I could hold off. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. We'll see how I decide at midnight when I'm putting the list together and I look at my release radar and see that song sitting there. I might just click play.
I think you're going to listen to it. I think you're going to listen to it. But
either way,
I appreciate you, Mike. And I know you're super excited. And I will listen to it on your behalf. I don't know if you want me to tell you about it, if we can talk about it, if you don't want to listen to it.
We'll see.
But regardless, that's exciting. This is, if you guys don't know Sleep Token out there, this is, Mike thinks they're the greatest band of all time, so you better go listen to them.
Because they are.
And they got new stuff coming. They are really terrific and really special. There's no question.
It's honestly my favorite band right now. Like, if I could write music in any decent capacity, I would want to write music as good as Sleep Token. It would never happen. It's
nuts. Very, very special. Well, Mike, that's all the honorable mentions, and that is a really great week. I feel like we got a great mix of stuff, lots for people to check out, and we're going to be back next week again on the audio side.
Hell yeah. Talking about music and stuff.
Yes. Well, I hope that burrito sits well in your stomach. I might go, have one myself. Maybe I'll check out a Fat Bastard Burrito Company. That's one of my favorites here in Canada. So
nice.
I'll be a fat bastard and get myself one.
I like Pancheros here. I think that's really nice. They like have the tortilla dough and they like press it fresh before they assemble your burrito. Oh, it's a dream.
No, you don't typically hear Michigan brought up in the conversation of great Mexican food in the United States. However, I think that they are very underrated. I think there's some great stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so as well.
All right, Mike, I will let you go. Thanks for the list. Have a great weekend. And
you too, Shane.
Yeah, man. Congratulations on the Sleep Token. I feel like I need to personally congratulate you.
Thank you. I am really happy. My wallet is not going to be very happy.
Yes. Yes. And I know they're going to do some weird / expensive shit from the UK.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Thanks, Shane.
Thanks, buddy.